from now on,
we will be quiet.
I think Jitendra is going to talk a lot.
No. I'm here to take care that you are speaking.
I never know what to do with this.
It's always the other way around, but how will you put it?
Okay.
I think the most of the bad words are at the beginning. People try to put
it up. At least for
So you start,
okay.
I think, right?
So we all attended interspeech, no?
Yeah, so we are going to talk about the papers, interspeech.
So how many sessions you attended?
It's not a good question, I think.
I mean, did
all
you attend
them,
any session?
All of them, of course.
Well, you can't attend multiple sessions in the same
time. Yeah, yeah. That's
oh, yeah,
like
that's true.
That's very weird.
Okay. Bad answer, right?
So any general impression or feedback? So for any of you, it's a first conference or maybe
not at all?
I mean, in the sense that it's a interspeech is really big conference for speech.
Yeah,
so
it's not
did you attend before?
Well, Geneva, that's why I'm here at the Geneva and your speech.
Yeah, so then I think you have attended before.
Yeah, we met in ICFP, right? The first time. So.
Yeah.
So how did you like the conference anyway? When you compare to the others, the previous one?
Yeah, I think it's quite interesting, but only annoying thing is this multiple sessions. And sometimes you can't able to go to oral talk, these oral presentations most of the time. Because like posters is, you can spend a lot of time posters, looking at many posters than sitting 20 minutes for one oral presentation.
Mm-hmm.
So in 20 minutes you can see at least 2-3 posters and you can directly talk to people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Even I found like very few people in some oral presentations.
Right.
I think most of the people are looking around posters and.
Okay, so you attended mostly posters, I guess. So
but
how many presentations?
Yeah, yeah. Presentations are hardly a handful of like five or.
I like the invited speaker about the implant in the ear.
Oh yeah,
it's quite good.
He was from Austria, right? The guy.
I think so.
Yeah. Well, he's very famous, I think, for that, right?
Yeah.
He's the inventor of that implant and.
Okay.
For the ear, I think.
Yeah, even some panel discussions on. Like human speech recognition, reducing gap between ASR and HSR. It was a bit interesting, a lot of arguments and differently, it's mainly the differences, different approaches of engineers versus linguists or phoneticians.
I realized that there were panel discussions only at the place where I could see them. And that, you know, there were some boards saying that there is some panel discussion.
Okay.
But I couldn't get, no one knew where is it, what it is, when it happened, and why, and so forth.
Yeah, even said the panel discussions, I think one is really held in small room, so people were
finally
really crowded.
Well, this is not, this speech is not restricted only to papers and these things. And so how did you like Lisbon?
Quite good, eh? Yeah,
it's
a bit hot still.
Yeah.
The beach
nearby
is quite nice.
Yeah,
you should try. I don't know.
Did you go around? Yeah,
we
went to the Costa Caparica there.
Okay.
With the bus, we were supposed to take the direct one, but we didn't.
So you went to a beach?
Yeah.
Like Atlantic Sea coast or?
Yeah, I stayed 2 days before. So I went. You just take the train. Maybe that's the same. I'm not sure.
Uh-huh.
Train north.
And it's not so far from.
Half an hour train.
North.
Yeah. West or north? I don't know.
Yeah,
okay,
west.
So you stayed at the same coast. Not you didn't go to the island, cross the river where's the bridge.
Not very far.
And then
no.
Okay, so
we went to like far south to Lagos.
Yeah,
with Hamad. Hamad. Yeah. That was really good. Those beaches are really good.
Yeah.
And more south to.
Yeah, even dolphins.
Go through the water.
But the weather was really hot. In the south, it's more than 35.
Yeah. But I think Lisbon, those days were pretty
Lisbon
good.
Lisbon was good.
Seemed to
be
quite, not cold, but still okay, like reasonable.
Yeah, even local transport.
Oh yeah.
It's fun, like, but yeah, most of the time the buses are really crowded.
Yeah, I was happy to be back in Swiss after a few days. It's better to be here, I think.
Yeah, because it's really big city. Now.
Yeah, it's a big city,
really
many people.
I was very surprised that even the trams did have AC there.
Yeah, yeah.
I couldn't see it.
Those new ones,
right?
Not
yeah,
the old one. But
right,
yeah.
But can you imagine something like in Czechy?
Yeah. Well, it's not necessary tonight, maybe.
Well,
sometimes yes,
it
but
was
not so
much
days.
If you would have to spend the hour and a half that Hemant and the others spent while going with the with the bus to the
conference
center from the hotel that we were, there was a direct bus and it took them hour
no,
and
yeah,
a half.
Yeah, but that's not good. Direct bus was not good. Like, so you can go to the. That's a central place, and then
you can take a tram and a train.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was the right choice, but to take something which was direct.
yeah.
It was
way.
Not definitely the direct as anything else. But
well, what is the place? Kaisho.
Kaisho.
The central. I mean, where we changed the bus.
I don't remember the name.
Keshe.
Is it there?
No, it's
Keshe Shoulder. Keshe Shoulder.
Not sure.
Sounds.
Maybe you can check the book.
Yeah.
Oh, you got it.
It's there. Like I used to find bus number from book.
Originally, I bought it because I marked some papers, but
one.
Yeah. Only one, which surprised me a bit. It was a speaker recognition, I think, but it doesn't really matter. They were trying to model covariance of different components
of what?
Of a GML instead of using a diagonal. But then if you use a full, it's too much.
Yeah.
So they use some approach where they tie them automatically.
Oh,
and after that.
Pruning of covariance models.
Well,
it's like
tying. It is still full, but different components are tied. Different components of the matrix tied.
But what, what does it mean tied then?
Equal.
Like.
Yeah, but then you have to store the whole matrix and
plus
some extra information what is tied to what? Or
no,
what?
No, you have to store a minimum number, a reduced number of parameters, and they are tied in a linear way actually, sorry, not equal, but.
It's like all the semi-tied covariance matrices.
Yeah, exactly, that's it. So,
they reduce, it's in between the direct covariance. This is full covariance. So you try to reduce some parameters by tying.
The interesting thing is that they applied it on speaker recognition.
Oh.
And on the features before, they had three different ways to decorrelate the features. and they showed it without this, with diagonal GMM, or with this. And with this, with semi-tied covariance matrices, it was much less sensitive. To which decorrelation procedure you choose. So
they obtain better results with that? Finally?
Yeah.
Also better. But of course, it depends on the number of parameters you put.
Right.
In your tying.
But if you compare now, if you compare it with some baseline, let's say you use just GMM with that.
No, I think they got good results with just using diagonals, so definitely.
I think it was even slightly better,
And no decorrelation for like.
It.
Maybe decorrelation again, they do DCT or KLP or they do that?
Well, LDA is there.
LDA.
The main point is to like make it faster, the decoding or what?
Make it possible to use full covariance matrix.
Yeah. But there must be the sense, right? Because once
you
decorate the data, then you don't need to.
No, but still, they still, that's why like people come.
So that means that the decoration is not optimal, right? So
yeah, definitely it's not optimal.
So
it's also like doing along the diagonal.
Mm-hmm.
So again.
So it's completely impossible to do it with full covariance matrix? Why?
It's really computationally really
yeah.
Yeah.
Computationally.
So see, suppose 1390 for every.
Of course.
Yeah. So
from the point of view of computation, but otherwise.
There's no problem.
No, there is no.
No problem, but
okay.
If you see so many models and
yeah.
Okay,
so,
so here you have to choose either many,
yeah.
Many
right.
Things to store and huge computation.
Yeah. Yeah. 30, you can see, you can't really like even, you can't, the models itself is like 38 times more than that.
Right.
So, so
yeah.
If you have like 5 megabytes or 10 megabytes of models.
Yeah, depends.
But even I think it's really,
yeah, it's one.
It like impossible for the really big systems.
Yeah,
yeah,
definitely. Improving covariance
yeah.
Almost impossible for like LBCSI, it's impossible to use
yeah,
it, right?
Yeah.
You've
it's
got
really
dimension 39 times 39.
Yeah, for
yeah.
Every. Year. So you have to
so
store all this.
Yeah.
So there are no results there.
And you cannot even train it.
No,
right?
But
more
in the proceedings, you can find them.
Mm.
They
yeah.
Are better, yeah.
So
from like PCA, LDM, and LT.
Oh.
It's not really anything new, but the they just applied that to speech
yeah.
ID.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Different task.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I found one paper interesting. I think you know Vivek, most of you. This is Vivek's paper on
yeah.
Like variable scale feature extraction. Normally we used to fix it. Window for feature extraction like 25 milliseconds or 30 seconds. Here he is proposing variable scale.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the fixed scale is non-optimal for. It's non-optimal because like for vowels, you can have
much longer,
and for plosives and these things,
mm-hmm.
Really shorter, like even around less than 20 milliseconds also.
Okay.
So he's proposing like this variable scale window. Kind of online for each segment.
Why it has to be online?
Yeah, mm-hmm. You can do like you can measure and you can do, but he's basically doing some likelihood ratio testing. So if, so the main idea is like, suppose you have a one segment, so he's trying to find the stationarity, Cauchy stationarity of that segment.
Right,
like extend it as much as possible.
Yeah, as much as
keep.
Possible,
yeah.
Like yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, definitely you have to assume some the minimum and maximum sizes
of
your own. So he is using
what
minimum.
Is the
of minimum is I think around 12.5 milliseconds. I think maximum is 60 milliseconds.
So isn't
it smaller? The minimum. No?
So the minimum
2.5 milliseconds.
No, I think minimum is 20 milliseconds.
20 milliseconds.
Yes. 12.5 milliseconds is kind
of
50
or this
oh, yeah.
20 milliseconds minimum is
not as small as it should have been, but
no, you can use
small other processing after.
No, mainly because of MFCC computation because
yeah,
yeah, it becomes
small.
Really noisy. Like if you use
noisy, yes.
Yeah, 10 milliseconds means you have only 80 samples for and then
right.
You have if you use 24
sure.
Filters, the filters won't get any
yeah.
Samples.
Okay.
So.
But it's not an intrinsic limitation, it's just because of...
Yeah, because of computation. So even, I think even he can find less than 20 millisecond
okay.
Windows also, especially for...
And the shifting is still the same or not?
Shifting,
okay.
Yeah, he's using
yeah.
12.5
yeah,
millisecond, yeah, shifting is almost same.
So
but the problem, like...
How do you mean?
Like, no, how many frames per second do you have? Is it again like 100 frames or it's less or even if you keep variable length of the frames, right?
Yeah.
You can still keep the same.
Yeah, he's keeping
frame
same
rate.
Number of frames. He's using 12.5. Yeah, 12.5
because I understand this would have sense for I don't know speech coding where you want to preserve or you want to encode it into less frames, right?
Yeah.
But why to do it for speech recognition? It means that
number of frames.
Yeah,
would
no. Why
to
keep variability in the length of the frames? Why not to keep the same length? Why
actually, the problem is again, you see the shift is the Nyquist frequency if you compute modulation spectrum.
Yeah.
So again, if you change this shift, the modulation spectrum Nyquist frequency changes for each window. So
right.
If you want to do again, another high level feature extraction again, it will be a problem. So but he's like he's describing this, because I mean this itself is a problem, keeping the fixed frame size, because you're analyzing your this segment many times.
Right.
So this shift will,
right.
Suppose
right.
if you find one segment of 60 milliseconds and then
mm-hmm.
you're doing this 10 milliseconds, so every almost I think five frames you're analyzing the previous this
right.
already
right.
segment. So,
right. Right.
So again this may blur some frequency
mm-hmm.
transitions
mm-hmm.
or
mm-hmm.
yeah, but the problem is again this bottleneck is here, like you can't change your Nyquist frequency
right.
modulation. And
yes.
I have two questions. First is essentially how he's doing in that.
Yeah.
Well, once he gets the frame, like
yeah.
from here to here,
yeah.
then where he advances to start with computation of the next frame?
So the main idea is like first he take the some window, some
yeah.
some samples. Then he assume somewhere some variable end point there is a change.
Okay.
So
then
it's not symmetric.
It's not symmetric. You can basically you have to like again do for all the samples in that 0 to n. So then what he does is like he proposed like some likelihood ratio test based on
okay.
maximum likelihood. So that is really simple. Like so what he does is like so he compute the residual. First he does the LP analysis
okay.
and then he computes the residual
mm-hmm.
and he takes the residual energy of full signal, like these zero to n samples.
Okay, so
the
full
signal.
Full
so
some sub window or the whole
the whole window.
10 seconds of speech or what?
No, he assumes
also some
yeah 60 milliseconds or something he start with, so
okay
so then
something
he can
longer window than the
yeah,
one we are
yeah,
speaking of
yeah
okay?
then he can split that window at point n, say point n, so then you will have zero to no you can segment
okay
it
so you have a window and then you split it to two parts and you shift
yeah.
the point
so
where you split it or
yes see suppose
okay.
this is your window, so then you can move your like this you can move your point.
Okay.
So splitting then this will be like one and this will be second.
Okay.
But again he assumes some initial sizes for these windows.
Okay, so basically we have
he don't start with start with zero sample or something. He's
right.
starting
yeah.
with
okay.
So the left window starts at 20 milliseconds.
Mm-hmm.
So you're already here, like suppose this is full signal, you're already here. So right window is
okay.
should end at 12.5. So you have to search basically in this range. So
okay, so once you have say 1 hour of speech, you start at the beginning
yeah.
and first you try with 20 milliseconds.
Yeah.
Then you shift to 25 and so forth.
Yeah. And then if
until
you the
you
maximum is 60 millisecond frame for him.
Okay.
So
and
if
and
you don't
find
anything
where what? Where do you stop actually?
60 milliseconds. If
yeah, I know but you start at 20 and go to 60, but which point do you choose?
No, the point is depending on the likelihood ratio. So he got
okay.
So
which
he suppose this.
Likelihood ratio?
So this is suppose say segment one, and this is segment two. So he compute
okay.
this error here. So and then he gives some kind of in terms of this residual error. So this residual error is for full zero to n samples. Then divided by suppose this point is say n, so 0 to n and then like so this is the basically the main equation over here.
So he's maximizing that?
Yeah, he's finding the likelihood for full frame and then it's basically likelihood ratio test. So he's comparing the likelihood of the full segment divided by the likelihood of the sub segment.
Likelihood. That something and something. What is the likelihood?
Likelihood of the like this likelihood is this error estimate of the residual.
Okay.
So residual power he can compute. So
after
doing LP he can get a residual and then he can compute the power of the residual. So that
okay.
he is proving that power is
so
again maximum likelihood estimate of your LP parameters.
Mm.
So. That way it's interesting, you don't really need to do lot of computation. You just need to take the error of residual of this full window and then residual of energy of these sub windows, and then you can just divide them. And then the only thing is, like, again, he has to use some threshold to decide. That's only the he got he's finding something more around 3 or 3.5 is the optimum threshold. But the another advantage is, like, it's not really changing speech recognition, whatever, it's not really changing because of the threshold. So you don't really need to, like, fiddle with threshold a lot. So
but why the main value which you are comparing to, the overall value or overall likelihood or whatever you call it, why he's using the whole signal for this? Because so if the whole signal was steady somehow and it would be able to be modeled by LP model well, then the residue will be very low. So he's supposing that the whole signal won't be able to be captured by LP model and that the residue would be high enough, or why
is
he comparing to the
I understand
overall?
This is the actually basically some theoretical proof, like, maybe if you're interested you can see, and he's quoting from
I didn't see the point of dividing.
No, this is from again
stuff.
Yeah, statistical signal processing. What they say here is, like, suppose if you analyze two distinct pith order this LP analysis in the same stationary analysis window, the coding error will always be greater than the ones resulting from this analysis in two windows, two stationary windows. He's basically based on this theorem. So so what he's saying is, like, if you do this error, it will be always greater than the these errors of two stationary windows.
Okay, that's reasonable. Because actually, if the whole signal would be able to be modeled by LPC, then anyway he has to design some framing.
Yeah.
So even if it's very stationary, by dividing over this whole stuff, he is able to find some reasonable boundaries.
Yeah, probably.
Makes sense.
This may be.
Okay.
I think
he's
getting some improvement, but.
How did you cope with what you mentioned sometime before, that if it's a very long stationary period, for each 12.5 frame, you will actually get the same signal, no?
So he's just he's normalizing the energy coefficient, because energy is really affected a lot.
Okay.
So he's.
Well, it has to be power, not energy, definitely. You know.
Energy, like, because E C0 component, like, so he's using MFCC, so
he's
normalizing the C0 component
by the lens.
Yeah.
Then power instead of energy.
Power is
energy
like
over lens.
Yeah. It's time, like, yeah. It's okay, like samples, or you can say root mean square energy or something.
Okay. So two things I still don't understand. This is supposed to be only for MFCCs and these easy features. One question I wanted to ask before. Does he preserve within the feature vector the framing he's using finally? Because does he somehow put the information about was the size about the frame to the feature vector itself, or he's throwing away this framing?
What do you mean, like the window length?
Something like this, because
the
recognizer could be good for the recognizer to know what was the chosen framing by this.
No, but I think it doesn't use, I guess, because at the end, like, you take these features and you try and model, so it really matters what frame shift you're using for models, like, because
For the backend, it might screw it up to.
He will get, like, every 10 milliseconds, he gets one feature. Like, it doesn't really depend on. Because, suppose if you take your case, like, your window may be longer, so it doesn't really matter, like, what size window you use or not. But at every 10 milliseconds, whether you give some features or not really matters. No? Like, so. See, you can use 30 millisecond or 50 millisecond window.
Oh, probably I didn't get it. So The framing is still equidistant.
Yeah,
just
yeah.
The windows are
yeah,
wider.
Yeah, yeah.
Ah,
right. Yeah, yeah. Framing, I was like, it's really
because it
would
be
yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
If you change framing, it's really.
It might be difficult.
I
oh,
think even
I see. So, so
it's really problem, no? Like if you try even models also, I guess if you change, it's not only with this modulation spectra and shifts in deltas because.
Who knows? Maybe it's possible to use it somehow, but then there is the information about. Temporary information is somehow included.
Yeah, but it's really complicated. I think
yeah.
If you use,
yeah,
yeah that becomes.
Cannot
really
imagine the transformation to get the modulation spectrum out of such a stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
This is kind of
there
interesting.
Is also some, not paper, but I saw the algorithm. I have been using him that called temporal decomposition. I don't know if you know that.
Yeah,
like
the Ethel's temporal decomposition.
I don't know who. Propose it. I just had it from Bimbot, Frederico Bimbot. Do you know the guy? He's French, somewhere now in Telecom, French. I don't know where he's working. But we were using it for speech coding.
Yeah.
So we just had a speech and you had decomposed the speech into such segments, temporal segments, which were stationary inside.
Yeah.
And then you can more or less quantize those segments somehow and use it for encoding. Let's say
First, this is proposed by Ethel.
We
read one paper in our reading group. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
I have implemented. It's quite
they
working
were using
well.
Like SVD stuff, single value decomposition for that, and it worked pretty well. Like I was.
Honza is also worked for
exactly.
So why don't you still use it?
No, he was quoting.
So well.
It has been used for speech coding. No, nobody uses it for recognition stuff. I think I never heard it.
Yeah,
but you
use the speech coding, so do you still use it?
No, I don't, of course.
Why?
Yeah, that's a good question. Maybe.
Yeah, he was quoting that paper also. He was telling this is kind of optimization criteria what this temporal decomposition is doing. Like you're trying to segment your signal into like discrete windows and then.
Right.
So, but he was telling like this. A relationship between optimization and then Cauchy stationarity is not really obvious.
Mm-hmm.
So stationarity is again different. No? Stationarity is
that's true.
This is optimization. We want to like see some few segments which can really represent
mm-hmm.
role.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's why like this may not be really.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's
interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, this one. Yeah, he's getting some improvement.
That's important.
Well, there should be, after each conference, there should be something like 10 people should sit down, read the papers, rank them. You know, all the similar papers within one session, say, focus to this topic, and say, this is the best, this works slightly worse than this one, and throw away what is not that good, and and
I think
these
people
the first
would like
three papers which are
like
the
it.
Best should be implemented and used from
again.
The time onwards. Like forget all the MFCCs because it's too old, and then start building the story on the new stuff. And
but again, getting the 10 papers is really difficult task. It takes maybe years. And again, who will choose the 10 papers?
I know.
Exactly.
This is just
if
a theory.
Those things are practically kind of really. But I think these kind of things, what you said is really good. Like if people start implementing, like some people propose something in feature level, some propose in something in model level, but these two are really independent. No one really will combine these two. Or
and everybody is using different training and testing data, and then you don't
especially
know.
Features. Like suppose if somebody come with different good features, again people
they
again
show
use
it
MFCCs.
Works for Timid, but then you try to use some different databases. You see, it doesn't work.
No, it's not really sure. Also, like suppose people. You can't really force people to use same features.
Sure.
They will be happy with their own features and their own scripts, so they are a bit reluctant to change features every time.
So
it's
a little bit what NIST is trying to do now.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So NIST evaluations.
Yeah. Because everyone is still comparing to PLPs or MFCCs. And there are so many new systems, and everything is new,
but nobody
is still 20 years old.
Those new systems are still not
general, like, you know, Rhinos, PLP, and CC, because everybody knows that it works somehow,
yeah,
right? For any kind of data.
Huh?
That's why they are comparing to that. So once somebody will come with something new, okay,
yeah,
he's showing it works for some data, but...
So at least especially LVCSR and really big systems.
Yeah, yeah.
Then people
first, it's difficult to show that it works for all the data, right?
Yeah.
Because
it's again,
but
you don't know.
And
every paper then should contain all the results from this evolution or some standard task.
No, then there will
otherwise
be only one conference in 3 years or something for speech.
Yeah, but then we all optimize on the same task.
Yeah.
We cannot get
yeah
anything new out of that after some time.
But
okay,
again,
so it could be you would have to publish the results on this standard task, and then you could say, well, I also tried on this and this.
Yeah, but then you run out of time.
That's why you can publish only once in 3 years.
No, but then only it makes some progress.
No, ideally you're correct.
But I think people are doing, suppose in InterSpeech there was some challenge for speech synthesis. So what's like it challenge was really good, like, so they give the database, so you have to work on that database. What technique use is
yeah
it's your choice, like, but the database and then the results analysis is they decide. So even speech recognition also some tests are coming, like for phone segmentation or something, people give some database and then you have to you can use whatever you want and
mm-hmm
you have to produce.
Yeah, but
even for features
for
also
example,
like
can you use from some
features also
from the outer world?
Yeah, they design the data such a way that it's really like really real data.
Yeah, but they give you also training data?
No,
no, first
just
speech synthesis, it's like they give you some data.
Oh,
so whether
training,
like
okay,
use for training or you can do like data driven or like model based approach or whatever, like at the end then they will ask you to synthesize some sentences and you have to synthesize them and then
okay,
you have to send them.
So they give you only the training or development data?
Yeah, training
that
data, only no development training. Yeah,
how do they evaluate?
Evaluate, it's again subject to, because for
so
speech synthesis.
They ask
yeah
people to sit and listen basically.
Yeah, listen
so
and,
yeah.
Yeah, 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 even it's mostly they use native speakers only because they can really reach well. So.
Okay. But they don't have any measure, like you have an original speech.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You transcribe
yeah
it.
Yeah. So even they propose some kind of word error rate. So you have the original speech, so the synthesized speech, is there any words which are not matching?
Mm-hmm.
So even speech synthesis, they also introduced this word VWR terms.
Okay.
But this was really quite successful, like in this conference, InterSpeech.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people participated.
Right.
I think even they're continuing this for next year. And
it's just TTS, right? Text-to-speech.
Text-to-speech.
Right.
But I heard like even for ICASP next year, there's some competition by Martin Krug, Sheffield, and on this feature extraction
mm-hmm
stuff. So at least if you make tasks simple, focused, then it may be good to compare these features. And but if you use some large vocabulary system, it takes 6 months to build, and then at the
mm-hmm
end you don't know whether your features are really
right.
So maybe that's why like people are always using PLPs or MFCCs. It's such a like lot of time involved, so you can't really check.
So maybe you, well, but then well, I don't know if somebody like NIST would have one recognizer and you just plug a different feature. But
yeah,
mm-hmm,
but at least in India we have this numbers recognizer is almost kind of free, so everybody is using.
Right.
So that's what we're doing, no? Almost like we're putting different features in. I think, yeah, numbers recognition is not really different from, at least in EDAP we have
yeah
almost same. But maybe you're using 29, that's
yeah
probably it's different. But
mm. We are a couple of people at EDAP, but they are already two different setups.
But at least
are they
27.
OGI?
And we're all using 27. So
for OGI numbers?
Yeah.
Stories and numbers.
Different setups? Like some people use this setup and some
yeah
that seems.
Yeah.
I think we use distinct train and test set even. The different sets of phonemes.
No, but the problem is you're using only digits, so maybe that's how you.
Well, I don't use only digits. My MLPs are trained on everything.
No, but test set is digits. Your main task
digits,
is digits.
Yeah.
Yes, that's like it. But OJ numbers are other, like now we're a little bit converged, like we're using 27 phones and before it was like 24, 25. But it's better, like once you have like so whatever the back end, then you can put features like whether they're gammas or like spectral entropies or MFCs or whatever. Then at least you can see.
Would be nice for OOR maybe.
Huh? Yeah, yeah. So but Aurora is.
For what? OOR.
Aurora.
Ah.
Has.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, but Aurora, is it really big database or I mean, how much time it takes to set up system and then.
No, no, it's fast.
It's fast.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I've
yeah.
been working with that.
But the problem is Aurora, again, these models are word based models. Huh?
Right, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so again, here we use triphones and.
Hmm.
So. But definitely, I. If you want to show noise, I think it's you have to show on Aurora.
For
also.
Noise conditions, yeah, it's pretty.
Aurora
good.
Is real time.
Those recognizers are made there. You just use them. That's
yeah.
it. You don't have to play with it. Even if it was forbidden in that time, right? So you have recognizer, just use it.
Yeah.
Don't play with it.
You can.
You just play with the features.
Yeah. yeah.
So
but
noise
yeah.
wouldn't be comparable.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly. At least I mean, those studies I think people already did for even in ICSLP 2002.
Yeah.
A special session on
right.
features for Aurora. So
yeah, I remember.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
With David Pierce, he was.
Yeah, yeah. This Qualcomm XE features and
yeah.
these
exactly.
OGA features and all this. So there are already people. But again, like at the end, like for LVCSR, people are using PLPs or MFCs or nothing. All this.
Yep. Who is the one who makes, who actually uses what we try to do here? These are companies because it's not scientists. Scientists just start from PLP and then design new features, new backend or new anything, but they start from the old stuff. But who is the one who is using these results which we publish and try to make?
But maybe
we
I
are using those results
for publishing another paper.
Yeah, but once you finish your PhD, you go and
but not
it's
everybody
over.
Not everybody.
And those who don't, they stay and publish another papers, and they
but
they don't turn into a life, no?
Guillaume, you can tell
life.
Me, like, you work with these Siemens people, you know, Siemens or these
yeah,
Daimler
yeah.
What kind of features they use? Like they use,
I don't know. You know, they are extremely secretive.
Oh, God.
I had a hard time just to get the signals. So I asked other questions, but. It's quite tough. Yeah,
yeah I even see.
Yeah.
I didn't discuss anything with Sunil also, like, no technical discussions.
Yeah.
Yes. Because it, these kind of things are a bit, yeah.
Yeah, they have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But do you have any like feeling that whether they go for all these new features
yes.
or they usually use only.
I wonder which level they are using.
They have, yeah, they have
maybe.
To do some tests in their Mercedes, some speech recognition tests. But it seems now, at least Daimler, they mostly work on dialogue management,
mm-hmm.
But not much on features and recognition.
But even they don't believe like with one paper or two, I guess, because at least for them, no
yeah,
PLPs
sure.
or MFCCs, they know that, okay,
so
these things work on
yeah.
every tag,
yeah.
so okay, we can put hands on these things.
I doubt they are trying right now.
Yeah?
I doubt that at Daimler they are trying right now, but maybe other companies.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe like, yeah, because Sunil is working in Nokia, he's an expert
okay,
in
so we can hope that Nokia
yeah.
will be using Tandem.
Oh. But
Tandem
yeah, we're not sure, even
no.
Sunil won't tell us.
yeah, I cannot.
Well, many people play with Tandem, right? Like MIT, or who is using that?
No, no.
Not MIT.
No, this
somebody.
Cohen, you mean like...
I don't know, Hina told us that somebody is using that very... Actively, like okay, it works for them, and they are close to like industry, like you know, there is it's a research group.
So it's not related to ICSI.
I know, I don't think it's ICSI. Somebody else, or I don't know, somebody knew us, but I.
But this voice signal company,
like
no?
AT&T or what?
This voice signal company, he Nick always mentioned.
Cohen.
Company.
Yeah.
The word they're using here.
Jordan Cohen.
I don't know. He's even if. Qualcomm? No.
Voice signal. They make recognition
oh yeah,
for
yeah.
the Samsung
for
phones.
Right. No, I don't know.
Yeah,
but they have like really many recognizers, I guess.
Yeah, I think so.
Maybe
yeah.
differently,
yeah.
they may be using PLPs. Or
maybe they are using PLPs, and but I believe that
last
there is still some another stuff
Rasta
up to,
or
yeah,
something.
Rasta or whatever else.
Yeah,
all those decorrelations and transformations. I think it's there, but more or less it's again based on NFCs or something. Like that.
Yeah,
so
but
whatever is certain to work, and they use it. They don't use anything which is too new, which is not.
Yeah,
well,
too new is really differently.
Yeah.
Because like they have to at least see at least 4 or 5 years of results of some new features
it's
and
like
some consistent results.
It's like a NASA, you know, they use 486 machines to put to
space or
spaceships because it's known to work perfectly well or Pentium, not any P4 or whatever, because it's safe, it has been working for 20 years and then only it's safe to run on 20.
But that's a different situation because
yeah, of course,
right,
yeah.
They need that it doesn't crash that machine.
Correct.
If
yeah,
something happened with that machine and I don't, the Alex system, it doesn't matter, right? Somebody will fix it and change it. But
Another issue is like again the computation issues. Right? They want to make on mobile,
sure.
They don't want to really use some fancy, really expensive, computationally expensive features. So all these.
Hynek also told about this Cohen's cell phone, which he was showing to work with the LVCSR.
Yeah.
He was saying that there is something really, really simple, the decoder, I mean, not the feature, but he was mentioning something to the decoder. There's just.
It's just phone recognition or something.
Like even not Viterbi, just even.
Yeah,
phone
something like no DTW or something.
Yeah.
I don't know, I'm not really sure.
But most of the mobiles, they use DTW kind of thing, you know? All these,
I don't know.
So voice calling,
so?
Yeah, voice
yeah.
calling at this.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah.
Because
that's
easy, like because
yeah, sure.
They don't really need to put a lot of memory and these things. Otherwise, if they want to build real,
but there you could send an SMS, I think, or something like that. You could dictate text.
Yeah, yeah.
So
even on the phone,
Yeah.
Some new one or.
The phone that
from the
Cohen.
Yeah.
Voice
signals.
That's a similar one to what Eve has, for example. So he was showing it live on MLMI last MLMI conference.
And
you can look up the video and play.
But
it.
Which phone it is?
It's Samsung.
Samsung.
Some new, really new phone.
Well, some, but some which you can buy, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Commercial.
But the software is always available. Or
you can train it like on your speech.
Always.
No,
or
the software is.
I don't know that.
Again. On top of mobile, or like it comes with your mobile?
Well, they just bought a mobile, and based on the OS it's using, they
no, the thing is usually these kind of facilities are like not normal. So
no,
they may charge
the
more, or like yeah, yeah.
Phone. This is not the commercial
okay.
stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely
they
may charge
the
for more money again, some extra bill for this using this recognition engine or something.
Or you can just buy that application, right?
Yeah.
I don't know, like it's
what?
Like you've got some mobile phone and then you can buy from another company some such application that you can dictate your SMS or whatever.
I don't know if it's already the case.
I don't know if it is done now.
Yeah.
But
maybe like if it can't really recognize you, will be really.
But have you ever used like a dictation system for Windows? Those.
Yeah, I have
there
used once like this Dragon. That was
yeah,
kind of good. Like
I heard that it worked very, very well.
Because even in when I was working in like in Edinburgh, like one guy he got some problem with hands, and then he was always using this dictation. Even he used to write a lot of C++ code with dictation. Like it's really good. Like so, but you have to really. Trying and then you have to kind of
your speech.
Yeah,
okay.
You have to get used to the
system
too.
Yeah, yeah, it's really like you have to get used to the system, like how to say
how
all
to
the
say.
Call ands and
okay.
this thing system. How, but it's really funny. Like he is able to use it for like years, and he used to write a lot of code.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really great.
By the way, you should be the one to ask. Is there anything if I am just a private person and I want for free any software which is able to read me a book in English, for example that festival, am I able to put the text to the system and to in real time to listen to the
yeah you can listen festival
is able to
read and it reads like
to read just a normal plain text in reasonable comprehensible English or so that I can understand it.
Yeah,
I think
you can, the festival, you can just call it this. There are different kind of, again, how you call the festival. So you can just give the full interactive, is that there is an interactive. So then you will get all the colon and other things. If you want to like read full text, then you can say like the full text, like those syntax, and then it will speak till it finishes.
And it's in real time on
the machine.
It's based on a iPhone, right?
That's why it's real time, like otherwise it's a bit difficult. And
yeah.
It's okay, you can easily understand, so it's intelligible.
Yeah, I think it's really
good. The festival is good, like now it comes with all the Linux boxes also, so it's already in
the iPhone that I was trying to install it, and there are other voices like cat voice and these voices. This is not
no. There are so many voices. Like
because
again,
I don't know which
voice
is running, or if it's the iPhone or which approach this is.
No, most of the festival what you get on Linux machines is iPhone based only.
So
they supply few voices
of the iPhones.
Yeah,
so you've got it installed in your machine here?
No, it's already
yeah,
if you just put
festival
Festival, right?
Because it comes with direct Linux software only, no, which is
okay.
Open source.
Oh.
And have you tried it?
Yes, I've tried.
And
there are some built-in, like, easy voices, which you can... there
so
is a default one, completely synthetic, which you cannot understand at all. And then there is a iPhone synthesis. I think it is the iPhone synthesis from the something like cat voice.
Yeah, cat voice. Like there are like they have
so, but this doesn't sound very nice. And we were playing at the summer school with them, actually with the authors, and they were playing us some other
new voices. Like yeah,
and it sounded like human. It was great. But
yeah, that's the difference. They in CSTR we use this unit selection. It's not iPhones, you have really large inventory of the speech.
So this is not...
But those voices, they are
not
at release.
Or something.
Yeah. No, it's free, they will be releasing soon, I guess.
But
so maybe you can just...
It's not here so far.
No, it's here on the web, then it won't come with your Linux software, so you have to again download from...
Okay,
their
I'm fine with this, but I can...
Yeah, you can download.
Make it run on my machine.
Yeah, yeah. The voices are called multi-sync.
Okay.
Multi-sync some voice, so you can download from the voice, from the web.
And the engine is in the festival.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's just a voice.
Yeah. Okay. So voice is like the database of the per speaker who speaks this text. So if it's really large database, so the quality will be better because
so
you can find similar.
Still real time.
Yeah, it's more or less. But not exactly like it's 2 times or 1.5 times.
Not much. Yeah.
But you can prune like how much you want because.
Yeah. Okay.
So this is again like, that's kind of my PhD work. How, in this system, like how you choose the units and how you concatenate.
Mm-hmm.
So there are again cost functions and Viterbi.
Yeah, it's
so you can always optimize. You can put some thresholds and pruning,
mm-hmm.
and then you can make it real time. So then again, compromise with between the quality and.
Yeah.
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 But still, it's good. Like now. You can just check multi-sync and then voices.
That's
right. It's really good.
And you just have chosen some text? Any text you just
put
just
in? Yeah, I just used Douglas Adams, that book. And
okay.
Or it's called.
But only sometimes, like, it can't, like,
just
all
general
this.
English text, the book. I try.
It can read, how does it read? How to state it? Is it possible to read PDFs or just standard text?
TXT.
Whatever, TXT, right?
Yeah,
right.
ASCII file.
Okay.
ASCII file, but you can take a PDF and convert PDF to ASCII.
But only the problem is, again, acronyms, and sometimes it expands, sometimes
it
may not expand, because
it
it's not in the dictionary.
It's
not in the dictionary, like, if again, it's problem, like, so. But those things you can add, like, if you're really... familiar with this tool, so you cannot always.
I'm not, and I don't want to go too much in details.
But at least these things,
much.
Okay, like it won't really make mistakes so often. Like sometimes.
Anyway, who's the author of festival?
Alan Black and Paul Taylor. They started festival in 1996.
These are the Edinburgh people. No?
Edinburgh.
And I thought that's the guy from CSLU from Portland who was there.
This Johan Waters or like.
Yeah, but there was.
No, what they did Portland OGI, they did LPC based synthesis. The festival is already like it's one.
No,
first we start with.
No, but that was the guy who is on a wheelchair now. He cannot move even. He's very he just can speak only through some festival system or something like that.
From Wuji?
No, yeah, he was working, I think, in Wuji. He's very famous, but I thought that he was the elder.
No,
it was developed for him. Like, he was just first tester, I think, of the system.
Ah, okay.
Something like
that. Yeah, maybe. Because
but it's not text to speech, it's just a synthesis, which means.
Okay.
Like she's more or less the same, but I don't know.
Yeah, first he started in CSR with Alan Black and Paul Teller.
Yeah.
Then it expanded to many places because if somebody.
And Simon King is playing with that, right?
No, Simon King is one of the others, but Rob Clark is the main one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Rob Voice.
Yeah. Rob Voice is there.
Okay,
that I know.
Yeah.
I think that's enough.
Yeah.
So anything more about Lisbon or Interspeech?
No other papers further, just one paper.
And
festival from Linux. It's very interesting.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you can note down one.
That's quite long size. This is great stuff.
Yeah, but this paper maybe.
It's not easy to leave this room
without breaking anything.